Balveda fired the gun. It sparkled briefly at the end of its spindly barrel, like a small jewel caught in sunlight, and made the faintest of coughing noises. Before Unaha Klosp had been moved more than a half meter through the air toward Hawes's head, Zogzal's midriff lit up like the sun. The Adiran's lower torso was blown apart, blasted from his hips by 100 tiny explosions. His chest, arms and head were blown up and back, hitting the tunnel roof, then tumbling down again through the air, the arms slackening, the hands opening. His belly keratin plates ripped open, flooded entrails onto the water-spattered floor of the tunnel as his whole upper body bounced into the shallow puddles forming under the artificial rain. What was left of his trunk section, the heavy hips and the 3 body-thick legs, stayed standing for a few seconds by themselves, while Unaha Klosp floated quietly to the ceiling, and Hawser lay still under the falling water, now colouring in the puddles with purple and red as it washed his own and the Adiran's blood away. Zogzal's torso lay motionless where it fell, 2 meters behind where his legs still stood. Then the knees buckled slowly, as though only reluctantly giving in to the pull of gravity, and the heavy hips settled over the splayed feet. Water splashed into the gory bowl of Zogzal's sliced open pelvis.
"Bala, bala, bala," Unaha Klosp mumbled, stuck to the ceiling, dripping water. "Bala, la, bala, la, bala, bala."
Balveda kept the gun pointing at Zogzal's broken body. She walked slowly up the corridor, splashing through the dark red water. She stopped near Hawser's feet and looked dispassionately at Zogzal's head and upper torso, lying still on the tunnel floor, blood and internal organs spilling from the fallen giant's chest. She sighted the gun and fired at the warrior's massive head, blowing it from his shoulders and blasting shattered pieces of keratin 20 meters up the tunnel. The blast rocked her. The echoes sang in her ears. Finally, she seemed to relax, shoulders drooping. She looked up at the drone, floating against the roof.
"Here am our downly upfloat falling ceiling world, bala, bala,"
Unaha Klosp said, and moved uncertainly.
"So there, look, I am finished. I'm just, what's my name? What's the time? Bala. Bala, hey, the whole water, lots of downly upmost, and so on."
Balveda knelt down by the fallen man. She put the gun in a pocket and felt Hawser's neck. He was still alive. His face was in the water. She heaved and pushed, trying to roll him over. His scalp oozed blood. "Drone," she said, trying to stop the man from falling back into the water again. "Help me with him." She held Hawser's arm with her one good hand, grimacing with pain as she used her other shoulder to roll him further over. "Unaha Klosp, damn you, help me!"
"Blah, blah, blah, oh, hey, here am I, I'm here, how do you do? Ceiling, roof, inside, outside, ha ha ha, blah, blah."
The drone warbled, still fast against the tunnel roof. Balveda finally got Hawser onto his back. The false rain fell on his gashed face, cleaning the blood from his nose and mouth. One eye, then the other, opened. "Hawser?" Balveda said, moving forward so that her own head blocked out the falling water and the overhead light. The changer's face was pale, save for the thin tendrils of blood leaking from mouth and nostrils. A red tide came from the back and side of his head.
"Hawser," she said.
"You won,"
Hawser said, slurring the words, his voice quiet. He closed his eyes. Balveda didn't know what to say. She closed her own eyes, shook her head.
"Bala, bala. The train now arriving at platform one."
"Drone," Hawser whispered, looking up, past Balveda's head. She nodded. She watched his eyes move back, trying to look over his own forehead.
"Zogzal," he whispered. "What happened?"
"I shot him," Balveda said.
"Bala, bala, throw your arms out. Come out, come in. One more, once the same. Is there anybody in here?"
"With what?"
Hawser's voice was almost inaudible. She had to bend closer to hear. She took the tiny gun from her pocket.
"This," she said.
She opened her mouth, showing him the hole where a back tooth had been. "Memory form. The gun was part of me. Looks like a real tooth." She tried to smile. She doubted the man could even see the gun. He closed his eyes.
"Clever,"
he said quietly. Blood flowed from his head, mingling with the purple wash from Zakzal's dismembered body. I'll get you back, Horza, Balveda said. I promise. I'll take you back to the ship. You'll be all right. I'll make sure you'll be fine.